Welcome to another bonus podcast. My name is Thalia. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm sitting with Crystal. Hello. And we have three guests with us. We have Gloria Fema. You say hello, Gloria.
Hi.
And we have Becky Willett.
Hello.
And Leslie Allison.
Hi.
So, reason we have guests with us today is this is a missions focused podcast. And I've realized that Crystal and I and a number of the pastors here, we have a chance to interview missionaries on stage quite a bit. It's usually only about 5 minutes. But as I introduce them, I've realized that many in our church probably have never been on a long-term missionary assignment, and many have maybe never even been on a short-term missionary assignment. So we really don't understand what it means to be an individual or a couple or a family that is serving overseas on a long-term missionary assignment. So when they come back, we have no idea what that means. What's that transition like for them and their families?
And what kind of questions should we ask them as we spend time with them and get to know them?
Yeah. Yeah. What are the specific challenges they're facing, and how can we better support them and encourage them, both when they're overseas and also when they are here in North America, or in this case, Abbotsford? So we want to ask these guests, these women here around the table, a little bit about them now, where they have served in the past on their long-term missionary assignments. And then we want to start dialoguing about some of the questions that I have that I just talked about. But we'll get there. It's all on the whiteboard behind me. You can't see that we are in one of the classrooms at church and we've got this all prepared on the board.
We'll see if we follow it.
Okay, so let's introduce our guests. We've got Gloria Fema in front of me. Gloria, can you tell us about your family right now?
Sure. Well, most of you know Don. He's an elder here at Northview, and myself. And my daughter, Christine, who's married to an American, so she lives in the States. And then Michael is here in Langley, and Daniel is in Ireland doing med school.
Okay.
And,
so three grown children.
Not in the States, but in Hawaii, isn't it?
Hawaii. Yeah. I didn't want to say that.
But it gives you a great place to go on holidays.
It does, yeah. We're very blessed with that. Yeah, so that's our family now.
Okay. And Becky, tell us about your family now.
Okay. Greg, my husband, works upstairs with MB Mission. Mm-hmm. And we have four kids, ranging in ages from 18 down to 11.
Okay.
And so three are in school at MEI.
Yep.
And our oldest, Caleb, just graduated this last year, so he's working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you also teach at MEI.
I sure do. I teach grade 6, and I love it.
And today was the first day back to school, so happy New Year to everybody.
That's right.
That's right.
They were a little sleepy, but it was a good day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Leslie, your turn. Tell us about your family now.
Okay, so I'm married to Sean, who teaches linguistics at Wycliffe's Wycliffe Bible Translators. They have a linguistic training school on the campus at Trinity Western University called CANIL.
So that's to train people that are going out on the mission field?
Exactly, in linguistics. So he teaches there. And we have four kids. My oldest is a, do you say freshman in Canada?
Sure, yeah, I can say that.
He's a freshman.
First year university?
Yeah. Then I have a grade 11 who's, grade 12 at MEI, Nate, who plays basketball. And then I have a 10-year-old son, Drew, and a 7-year-old daughter, Annie, who at homeschool.
And you can probably tell our listeners that Leslie has an accent. Where are you from, Leslie?
Well, I grew up in Texas.
Okay.
Yep. So that's what you're hearing.
That's what you're hearing. The y'all.
Yeah. Did I say y'all?
No. But I have heard you say it. I like
that's
it.
That's right.
The other two, you are both Canadian, right? So Becky grew up here.
Born in the MSA hospital.
There you go. Ooh. And Gloria, where is your home?
My home is Windsor, Ontario.
Mm. And you didn't say what Don and you do now in terms of work.
Okay. Don also works at CANIL. I should say serves at CANIL because we're still fully supported missionaries there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so he's the personnel director there.
Okay.
Yeah. And I serve there as well.
And you're very involved in women's ministry.
I like to be involved on Wednesday mornings at Oasis here.
Yeah.
I love it.
How long have you been at Northview?
Wow. We started Northview in 2003. So we've been here.
Oh, yeah.
12 years.
No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Becky, how about you? How long at Northview?
Well, I came here 24 years ago.
Ooh.
Wow. Just after high school grad.
Wow. Let's don't tell them all I want. Yeah. But. Mm.
Yeah, I've been graduated together.
So a little over 24 years, yeah.
Okay. Mm. Leslie, how about you? How long at Northview?
As long as we've lived in Abbotsford, which has been about 2.5 years.
Oh, you're new to Abbotsford.
Mm-hmm. That's
nice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're going to talk about where you have served overseas and what that was like. Crystal, you're going to do this part.
Yeah, so we thought we'd ask, it'd be nice to know which mission agencies you served with and which countries you served in, and then just give us a little bit of a flavor of what you enjoyed while you were there, what were some of the challenges, what you loved about your service opportunity that you had there. So who wants to start?
Sure, I'll start.
Go, Gloria.
Yeah, we went to Papua New Guinea in 1990, and we were support missionaries. We were with Wycliffe Bible Translators, but we weren't translators ourselves. We were support missionaries. So in Papua New Guinea, there's so many languages. And so we lived on a huge center called Ukarumpa. And there's a school and a clinic and a store and all our administration, aviation, everything's there. So there's quite a large missionary community there.
How many people would be there, do you think?
There would be about 1,000.
Oh, okay, yeah. That is
it's
big.
It's the largest missionary community. Yeah. It's the largest missionary community in the world. Yeah, so it's a huge center. So Don was the principal of the primary school, principal of the high school. He was also the another part of the year. He was a counselor. And I worked in the media department, which I absolutely loved. I was a teacher in Windsor, but when I went to Papua New Guinea, I got to work in the media department, which was great. Because
so what was that producing?
Well, we did. I helped the missionaries get their reports ready to go back on home assignment.
Yep.
And also write down the stories of the missionaries and then go out to their villages and photograph their Bible dedications, and so it was a fantastic assignment. And I did a lot of other things on center as well. I mean, you're doing so much all the time. So I was very involved with women as well, women's ministries there, and so loved it.
How long were you there?
We were there 12 years. Mm-hmm. And so our kids grew up there. They went over 5, 3, and 2 years old. So it was home to them. And we decided when Christine graduated high school that we would all come home.
Wow. That's your and oldest.
That's
a big decision.
That's my oldest, yeah. Christine. Yeah. So when she graduated high school, we came home.
So what were your options at that time?
Well, we wanted to stay with Wycliffe, and we knew that there was the training center out here at CanIL. So Don applied, and he got accepted to work out here. So we, as soon as we got home that summer, we packed up our house in Windsor and drove out here. And to get the kids, Michael and Daniel, into high school. And then Christine went down to Mexico to become a scuba diver instructor.
So you moved her back here and then she left.
Yeah, she left. That's right. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of our story.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you love about Papua New Guinea?
Oh, we love the country itself is beautiful, and the climate up in Ukarumpa is the best in the world, according to National Geographic.
Oh, really?
And then being close to the ocean, we loved going to the ocean and learning how to scuba dive and that sort of thing. But we love the people, very relational people, and then we love the missionary community. Yeah. We just really miss our close connections with our missionary friends.
So with 1,000 missionaries, you also had time to interact with the local community as
well?
Yes,
there's quite a few employees that live on center.
Okay.
So we got to interact with them. Plus, there's a lot of villages all around, and a lot of our workers come from those villages. So I had housework because they needed money to pay for their schooling.
Yeah.
And send their kids to school. And so they came and worked for us, and we got to know their families and help them in different ways and pray for them and minister to them. And so that was great. Mm-hmm. And then we got to go out and visit our translation friends out in their villages.
Right.
So we got to see their life out there, which was fascinating. So it was great being involved there. I encourage anybody who wants to go. It's a great place to serve.
How about you, Becky? Describe where you guys were and what you did and what you loved about it.
Sure. So in 2006, our family moved to Thailand. We served there with MB Mission, so a church planting ministry. So our youngest, Silas, was 3, and our oldest was 10 at the time. And yeah, we stayed there for 7 years.
We had a chance to come and visit you.
That's true.
A couple summers ago.
Yeah, we hung out.
We were visiting Thailand because I have a niece that's adopted from Thailand. So we got to hang out with you in Phuket a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Yeah.
We loved hosting visitors. We got quite a few over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Northview sends a team almost every year.
Yes. Yeah. It helps people to understand what our life is like.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Walk the ground with us there. Mm-hmm. So that was a privilege that we had, actually, really, to host different people.
Yeah.
What did we love about Thailand, other than the fact that the food is amazing?
Yes.
And it is a beautiful country. But really, the biggest thing that we loved and missed the most is the people that we spent time with, for sure. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else?
I think that's it for now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. How about you, Leslie?
So, Sean and I went to Cameroon with Wycliffe Bible Translators when our oldest was 22 months and our second child was 10 weeks old.
Wow. The other two weren't even born.
No, that's right. We went with two boys.
Yeah.
And we went as Bible translators. And so we moved to a village that had a group of people there who there were no known Christians.
Wow.
And they had never had a written language. And so as linguists, we went in and we started developing this alphabet and slowly translating their folk tales that had been passed orally from generation to generation, translating them, getting them written down, not translating them, but writing them down and translating health documents for them, and then slowly worked our way into translating scripture. Hmm. And so we were there for almost 10 years.
So how many of them can read now? Like, did you teach them then to read their own language, or how did that work?
Yeah, still in the process, because most of these speakers, they still can't read. So we, we haven't finished this translation. My husband's still taking, while we're here, and he's, as I mentioned before, he's training future missionaries in linguistics at KNIL, but then each summer he's going back for about a month to keep working on our translation project, because it's just a long-term project. And so when the time comes that we have a Bible to present, then we will definitely need to do lots of training and literacy. And what did you love about it? You know, I was thinking, even today I was leaving Costco and the sun was just setting, and just there were just all these lights in the parking lot, and then there's that gas station there as you leave, and it just wasn't very lovely feeling. I was just thinking how simple life was in the village, and there was just a beauty of, like, at night there were literal moon shadows when the moon was full, because there were no other street lights, because there was no electricity, that you could see your shadow and on the ground walking. It was that, and we had to close the curtains to sleep because the moon would, like, shine on your face and it'd be too bright. So just the simple life. You'd go to bed with these frogs just croaking so loud, and the crickets and chickens and goats running through the village. And
did you have electricity? And
no. Well, we had solar panels. We had about 8 solar panels and 8 car batteries hooked up to them. And it was very rationed. We had lots of sun because our village in the north of Cameroon was in the semi-desert of the Sahel, so we had plenty of sun in the daytime to run the electricity, run what we needed, but at night we had to really conserve because that's what was stored in our car batteries. And so we had, it was really hot where we were, and so we had little 8-inch fans by everybody's head that were like camper type fans, because they had to be plugged
battery
into,
powered
exactly like you would in an RV, because it was hooked up to car batteries. So and I had a squirt bottle that would be on the bed beside me with a fan, so I could squirt water on me and then have the fan cool it, and it would work, kind of. So don't miss that part.
No.
So, Gloria, you mentioned what brought you home. It was getting your daughter to university. Mm-hmm. Or that was the plan, anyways.
Well, she did start, but it just fizzled. She wasn't really interested.
Which is fine. Every kid has their way they have to find.
That's
how about you two, Leslie and Becky, what brought you back?
We discovered that we had some needs within our family with our kids that we needed to address, and we needed to be back in Canada. for that purpose. And so it was difficult for sure to transition out of life in Thailand. There was a lot of grieving that went on during that time. But we have no regrets. We think we feel confident that that's what God called us to do. And so that's what we did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were saying earlier, as we were just chatting prior to recording, that you had lots of different people help kind of speak into your life at that point. And so that was really helpful to have
that
support
here. Yeah, we had a great community around us. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Leslie?
So our Wycliffe administrators in Cameroon were encouraging Sean to get a PhD in linguistics so that he could do more training of both nationals and missionaries in linguistics, and so that he could do consulting work for linguists within Cameroon. And so we left Cameroon and went to Colorado for 5 years while he got a PhD in linguistics. And so now then, instead of going back to Cameroon full-time, our assignment is kind of split between teaching at KNIL, working on this Bible translation still, but also consulting for other languages in a Bible translation project within Cameroon.
So why Abbotsford?
Well, because Wycliffe has two main training centers in North America. One's in Dallas, Texas, and one's in Langley, on the campus at Trinity Western.
Yeah.
And at the time we were deciding what we should do, KNIL needed him as a teacher, and Dallas didn't then. And so, Abbotsford,
we're
because it's more affordable.
They needed you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We get Leslie and
you
Sean.
Get Leslie.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much for sharing all of that. Mm-hmm. And to our listeners, if you have more questions for these three women, you are so welcome to contact them. Contact Crystal and I, and we'll get you in touch with these women, because we were hoping that this is just the start of maybe some more conversations. And maybe if you're listening, maybe you yourself or your family or someone close to you is considering long-term mission work and you just have questions. So you're so welcome to ask those. Mm-hmm. So transitioning to the next part, I wanted to ask some questions that would help us here in Abbotsford as we, you know, do life together. Because my questions are sort of like, what are the challenges that missionary families face when they come back? Well, come back to North America. I don't want to use the word home, because we've talked before about how when you're away, that is home, and when you're here, that's a different home, so you might have several homes over your life. Mm-hmm. I know there's a difference between transitioning for a short-term assignment back here, and there's also a difference between transitioning for a longer-term assignment. So maybe you guys can talk about what's that like? What are those differences between short-term and long-term?
Yeah, and explain what a short-term assignment looks like when you come home for 4 months. What takes up your time during those four months? Mm-hmm. So, do you want to start again, Gloria?
Sure. Well, you know, when you're coming home on a home assignment for a year, you're very busy. Doing a lot of speaking engagements and connecting with your supporters. So it's a very full, packed year. And our kids are plugged into the local schools.
Yeah.
So they are learning what Canadian culture is like, and they're counting the days till they get back to Papua New Guinea. And they're on the email with their friends back there and that sort of a thing. And yeah, those kind of years are really rough, and it really does help to connect with people back here at home.
Okay.
I say home because it's home for Don and I. We grew up in Canada, but for our kids, their home is really Papua New Guinea, because that's where they grew up.
Okay.
But coming back to stay is a whole different bag, because, well, for one thing, we didn't go back to Windsor, where our home is. We came out here. So it was like coming to a whole other mission field.
Yeah.
We didn't know anybody except for a few Wycliffe people. Mm-hmm. And we had to find a church.
Yeah.
And the kids had to go, the boys had to go into a secular high school. And they'd been at the school at Ukarampa, which was a Christian school. So that was a big adjustment for them. So it was just, it was hard finding a church. When we came to Northview, we felt the Holy Spirit is here. Let's stay here. We got connected, but the kids still had a really hard time fitting in, because everybody goes to MEI. They wanted to go to MEI. We just couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So it was hard for them to adjust back here. I think the biggest thing for Don and I was to get into a pastorate here.
Okay.
And that really helped us. And we really were blessed by people in that pastorate. So
when you came home for a short term, you still got involved? Or long term?
That was back in Windsor.
That's right.
Our short terms were back in Windsor, and that was no problem. But out here, getting involved in a pastorate was fantastic. And people just blessed us. So that helped us to really feel at home here at Northfield. Okay. So I really encourage, you know, pastorates to invite missionaries into their pastorate. Mm-hmm. And then just find out ways that they can bless them. So I encourage that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Becky or Leslie?
Yeah.
Short-term challenges versus long-term challenges.
We'll back up to the short-term first. So we served for 7 years, and we came home at two different times.
Okay.
With MB Mission, it's a four-month package.
Not a year.
So all the fun and busyness of that year, we get squeezed into 4 months.
Yeah.
And we have, usually most missionaries would have several different supporting churches, and so we would spread our time between a few different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully for us, they were mostly close to home, so it didn't involve a lot of traveling. That was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But we ranged from right here at Northview up to Kelowna.
Okay.
So there was one road trip in the winter. So we had good experiences. Northview was our home church before we went, and so we did have a pastorate that adopted us before we went to Thailand. And so we had the privilege of having people that we knew that we could connect with while we were in Thailand as well as when we were home, and so then they would invite us to come to their pastorate and share. And we actually got invited to a few other pastorates as well during our time. So we had those opportunities to have connections with people on the ground here. That was definitely helpful for Greg and I.
Yeah.
Again, like Gloria said too, like our kids didn't go on all of those different evenings that we were sharing in a group or speaking in a church. They didn't always want to come along. Yeah, it was a bit.
Yeah.
And we got good advice from other missionaries. Don't take them to everything. You'll burn them out.
Yeah.
So they went to school, and for the youngest, he went into a public school and went, "What's that white thing on the wall?" And it was a drinking fountain that he'd never seen before. And so there were weird little things, quirky things that our kids had to adjust to coming back to Canada. I think for the youngest as well, like just the food that we ate here was unusual for him, and so he had already adjusted to a Thai style diet, and so little things like that I think were challenging for the kids.
What about for long term?
Yeah, I guess this is long term. We've been back for a little over a year now, so that's our first taste of being home longer. I think we're putting down roots more this time around. When we came home for 4 months, we knew it was short term, and so our minds and our hearts were still in Thailand a lot. So here, this time around, I mean, I've been given a job that I adore and love. It's super fun. So that's something right in front of me that I can engage.
Yeah.
And that's been really helpful, actually, in my personal transition.
I can imagine.
I think in a family of six, each one of us has a different journey in walking out what is transition.
Yeah.
And so trying to be aware of just the different personalities and the different way that each of us has grieved losses in Thailand, and the different ways that we transition back in and adjust have, I guess, been unique and challenging and rewarding at the same time.
Yeah. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Leslie, what about you? Short-term ideas, long-term?
Well, I was just thinking of one that I hadn't thought of earlier, but, you know, when you're on home on furlough, like, I always thought, okay, I know I'm going to go back to Makari where it's going to be really hot and we're going to have limited food, and I know that I'll lose weight really fast as soon as we get there. And so there was this furlough 15 that we called it, where you would just, like, eat and eat. And not really think you had to be careful about anything. And, you know, you had so many road trips. Like, we've talked about speaking to churches, and we'd stop at so many McDonald's and fast foods. And you just would just indulge. And and just know that there would be an end to it. But now you have to use self-control.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a long time. That 15. We'll keep going to 30. Yeah. That'd be bad.
What's a short term for you? What has been a short term when you come back? Becky said 4 months. Gloria said a year. Mm-hmm. A year.
For Wycliffe was a year?
15 pounds in 4 months would be a bit rough.
Yeah.
Buy a whole new wardrobe.
Well, I mean, it cost a lot to fly six people round trip to, I don't know how you could do it more than 4 years. But anyway, Yeah. And then I think another thing that is hard, I've found as I interact with different people at churches, is this idea that you'll hear people actually say to your face, oh, you're just so brave, I could never do this, or you just must be. And I'm just thinking, oh, if you only knew what a chicken I am, and how unhardy I am, and just how ordinary I am. And just about every other missionary I know, there are some super missionaries I know, and they really are super, but I'm not one of them. So yeah, I guess the idea of a stereotype is when you don't really know someone well, you just have a general image and you just assume that they're a certain way, like, you know, really brave. Or, but once you get to know them, after a while, you realize that they are very ordinary with some flaws. And, yeah, more approachable.
I think it's
maybe
true for anybody that's in ministry. Like, I think Thalia and I felt that too sometimes. People put us on a pedestal that's not really grounded in any kind of reality. So, I think that's part of that. Yeah. You said something interesting earlier too when you were talking that while you were away, you had a clear kind of focus on that you were in ministry.
That's right.
Even though you're just raising your family and focusing on them, you felt like whatever you were doing was ministry because you were the foreigner in another land. And so coming back here feels different.
Harder.
Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, it just was so much in my face every day as I raised our family in this village that we were missionaries because we were so far from home and we had just this this life in the middle of this Cameroonian village. And and now we're just as much the same missionaries with Wycliffe full-time, and we're still serving in similar capacities, but it just doesn't feel so much like we're missionaries here in this comfortable house that has a dishwasher and a clothes washer and grocery stores down the
and
street.
And everyone looks like you around you. And,
And whereas there, it was sort of survival mode for each day. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get through this day and keep our children healthy and fed and not too hot?
Yeah. With a spray bottle. Yeah. I like that picture now.
And here, you know, it just gets so comfortable and you just, it just isn't so much in the forefront of we actually are still missionaries. I think probably my husband feels it more because he actually goes in and he's doing the training each day. But on my side of things, minding the home front, it feels a lot more distant.
Yeah. Really, all of us as Christians should have that mentality all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we don't.
But we don't.
No.
You get lulled into this comfort. Yeah.
So how can we...
Sorry, Crystal.
No, I was just going to say.
Support families like yourselves who are, let's start with, first of all, when families like you are overseas. You had a comment before, Leslie, about how we can deal with that. Mm-hmm. How can we support those families?
Ask the families what they need. Like, if you want to send a care package, they would probably love it, but you want to find out from them what's the best way to get that to them so that they can actually get it and that it's not half eaten. Like, literally, we had a package from my husband's mom arrive, and it had half, like, two bits of candy bar things. They were half eaten, and they actually left the other half. And one time they left an empty wrapper to show what was there so we could maybe thank the person at home. But they just took what they wanted.
So is the customs people or the delivery people?
And then we go to the post office. Our post office in our village had like 12 boxes. I think we were box six. Box six. And it says a note there. Box arrived in this, in French it would say box arrived in this condition, and I'm thinking, arrived, really? I don't think so. I don't believe it. And then ask what they need. Like, one time my sweet mother sent a care package that did make it to us, but in it had sugar, because she thought, oh, wouldn't Leslie like some sugar? Like a birthday cake. But we in Cameroon, we had plenty of sugar. That wasn't
what you needed.
Need. So just ask them what they would like and how
to get it there.
And I know that for some of our missionaries serving in sensitive regions, we have to even be careful about sending emails or what we put in emails or phone calls. Yeah. And so that's important that you check before just doing something that you think is nice, you actually should ask.
For sure.
Yeah. What else would be helpful for families overseas?
We sure appreciated the care packages that Darcy gave us. He hand-delivered them, so they were always safe. He never ate anything before he delivered.
Well, you don't know. Maybe he just took the wrappers out.
He ate whole packages. He did fabulous with that kind of thing. We loved getting emails, too. We sent out pretty regular email updates, and when people would respond to those, we always appreciated that.
We loved having visitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know,
for sure.
Which is awesome. And then we got to show off, you know, whatever was on our center, or take them out to a village and go to the coast. And so that's very special if people come for a visit.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage that.
Okay, so our last question before we pray and end this podcast. Last question for families who are living here now, or living in whatever community our listener is living in. How can we support families while they are here?
On short-term assignment? Like on home assignment? Or you're saying as they...
Short-term or long-term, maybe. I know, Gloria, you had some ideas.
Well, I think one thing is to not be afraid to talk to them and to just invite them for coffee or have them over for a meal and just say, tell us your story.
Yeah.
And allow them to talk. I think that was the biggest thing. When we went home to Windsor on furlough, nobody would ask us, you know, what was it like, or what was the hardest thing you had to deal with this semester or whatever. And so that was hard, that you couldn't, nobody was interested. You know, they're sending you over there as missionaries. Why don't they ask us?
Yes.
So that I would really encourage people to let them tell their story.
Specific questions are good to ask people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if they say, like Evan asked, so what's it like in Africa?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, really. Africa's really huge. I can tell you a little bit about what it's like in our village. But
yes.
I have a friend here who, you know, she's really good at saying, how did you, you know, get food for your family? And how did you, really specific questions.
Yes.
And then you know where to, you know, huge open-ended questions
start.
are hard to do something with.
Yeah.
I think those are important because so many missionary women at our church go to women's ministry and they sit around tables or they're at the TLC classes on Wednesday night and we don't necessarily know how to engage. And we think, well, they're only here for a few months, maybe we shouldn't bother, but that's not the case. We really want to be intentional about getting to know women, couples, families.
And our lives can be so enriched by people that we only meet a few times anyways. It doesn't have to be a long-term relationship to bother investing in, right?
And everybody has a story.
Yeah.
I mean, I love to learn people's stories, you know, asking them questions.
Yes.
And I think that would be a wonderful thing to focus on this year, is to ask people's stories, because God has done amazing things in people's lives. And we're missing it if we don't invite them to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great wrap-up comment. I love it. I do.
Good and resolution for 2015.
Yes, it is. It's good. Yes. And we had asked you if you would pray for our listeners. End the podcast. Okay,
yes,
Gloria.
Yes. Father, we're just delighted to have been here to share with each other. And Father, we know that it's your story that has been written on our hearts and in our lives. And we know that each woman listening, each person listening, Father, has a story. And I just pray that we'll be able to share each other's stories with one another and rejoice in what you are doing and be an encouragement to one another. So, Father, we just pray that this podcast will open up people to share and to inquire and maybe even to venture overseas. Father, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Even if it's a short term, Father, it's just wonderful to allow you to work and to show us what you are doing and what you can do in our lives. So thank you for this time together. I pray your blessing, Father, on each listener, that you would continue to bless and lead their lives. In Jesus' precious name, we pray.
Amen. Thanks for listening. See you next time.